Amen. The text is in Genesis chapter 18, some words in verse 13. Chapter 18, verse 13. And the Lord, and you'll see that's in capital letters, so one of these three, what appeared men, was actually the Lord himself. We believe that's Christ, a pre-incarnate. In other words, before he was born at Bethlehem, he sometimes appeared in human form, but it's obviously Jehovah. That's what that word means, Jehovah. Said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? We would say today, why did Sarah laugh? Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we come to consider this interesting question, we pray, Lord, tonight that we would examine our life and ask ourselves before thee in thy presence, why do we laugh? And Lord, we know there's laughter of fools that talks about in Proverbs. We read that fools make a mock at sin. But, O Lord, we thank you there is the laughter of the believer. We thank you, Lord, Psalm 126 talks about laughing and praising God and rejoicing when the work of God goes forward. So help us tonight, we pray, in our Savior's name. Amen. I want to speak tonight for a few moments on Sarah, the laughing mother. Sarah, the laughing mother. She's characterized by laughter. We're on the family series in the morning. There's nothing brings joy like the birth of a baby into a family. And of course, the question comes, what shall we name the child? Well, we're speaking here about a family where a birth of a son brought great joy and laughter into the family. But they didn't have to think about the name, because God told the father to be what to call his son and give him the name Isaac. Well, to tell you right away, in case you didn't know, the name Isaac means laughter. Call your son Laughter. There's not too many. I know sometimes we maybe nickname somebody, they're smiley. Or, you know, we say he's always laughing or joking. But there's not too many people I know, I don't know any, who have the Christian name of Laughter. But that's what the name Isaac means. Actually means laughter. Not a strange name to call a son, and yet God told Abraham, that's what you have to call your son, Laughter. And you've got this question, why did your wife Sarah laugh? What makes you laugh? What makes you laugh will tell a lot about the type of person you are. Now, laughter's good for you. I don't mind laughter, it's a good thing. Maybe you laugh at some jokes that some comedian tells, or maybe when you get together, as they would say in the west of the province, for a ceilidh. That's just a chat, by the way, with each other. It's not an Irish dance in the west. And you do some ceilidhing around the houses, and you have a good laugh. And we had a good laugh on Thursday night. There was a serious two at Reverend William McRae's Thanksgiving service. Quite a few of us took part. There was quite a few reminiscences of the early days. Now, I didn't tell jokes as such, although I couldn't help one story. I'd have brought a picture with me of the Reverend William McRae and myself, Trevor Baxter, a couple of others, taken in 1968. Now, I wasn't wearing short trousers. I know you probably thought I was, but it was taken at an arch opening in a place called Memel Street. And about 20 to 30 years later, William McRae was there, of course, not. I said, this picture, I showed it to a few ladies in Carrickfergus. I said, who's that in that picture? And they recognised me. It took them about 5 minutes to recognise the Reverend Trevor Baxter, because he had big fuzzy hair, big head. And the one in the middle who was wearing the clerical collar, they couldn't work it out. They tried all kinds of ministers. I said, that is William McRae. No, it's not. I said, it is. I was with. No, it's not. Sure, William McRae is good looking. And they had no spec savers in those days. But a lot of people were a lot more funny. And there's nothing wrong with a laugh. Nothing wrong with a laugh. Of course, we laugh at different things. I personally like one-liners. I remember a few years ago, there's one man I'd never heard of, and my daughter over in Wales told us about him, and you sort of don't get it at first, but she said, you know, his favourite joke is, I'm just back from a once-in-a-lifetime holiday. I'll never do that again. Or, I just sold my Hoover. After all, it was just collecting dust. Ah, well, I'm not. Some can tell them, and some can't. But anyway, there's things we laugh at, and there's nothing wrong with laughter. Do you know the medical authorities, and I looked this up, one medical association in America says that when a person laughs, every organ of the body responds to laughter. Do you know that psychiatrists say laughter is very good for people? Those who are involved in pain clinics, and I've read this at different times, you know, those who have extreme agony of pain, they have done experiments that if they can get the patients laughing for a while, it kind of lifts the pain, only for a short time, sadly. So medicine helps. Now, I'm not a doctor or the son of a doctor, yet I have no doubt that that's true. No doubt it helps the body and the mind. Because the book of Proverbs 17, verse 22 says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." So that's scriptural. The doctors have it right. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So that's a good way to take a dose of medicine, is have a good laugh. Not, of course, against sin or those things like that. I sometimes tell the students in the missionary principles that many missionaries who have served on the mission field for decades will say one of the essential qualities needed in a foreign missionary going to cross culture, in other words, a different language, different culture, is to have a sense of humor. Because you'll never learn their language if you can't laugh at yourself and be laughed at. You need a good sense of humor. And that is true. It amazes you that some of the great men in church history had a sense of humor. Martin Luther, of course, was well known for his sense of humor. So was John Calvin. People think of John Calvin as this dull, dry theologian. Of course, C.H. Spurgeon was notorious among some people for his humor. Do you know the published sermons? I have 60 volumes of them. And they were actually edited by himself on a Monday, and he used to take a lot of the humor out. Now, he wasn't laughing at sacred things. He wasn't just telling a joke for the sake of it. But when he preached, he was very humorous. In fact, the story is that some people criticized him. One lady in particular told him off. "It's terrible, the humor that you tell when you're preaching." He said, "Madam, if you knew how many humorous stories I kept back, you'd be praising me." And he said, "When I have the people laughing, that's when I pour into their open mouths the truth. That's when I pour in the truth." And Spurgeon, when you read his autobiography, was a very humorous man. I love the story. I'm sure you've heard me telling it before. He was with an American preacher visiting him on a Saturday afternoon, and they were having a walk around his garden, and they were laughing uproariously at a funny, humorous story one of them had told. And Theo Collier, in his biography of Spurgeon, said, "C.H. Spurgeon walked with God so close, he just stopped and he said, 'Theo, isn't that so funny? Let's get down on our knees on the grass and thank our Lord for the wonderful gift of humor.'" And he said, Charles Spurgeon knelt down and began to pray and thank the Lord for the gift of humor. And of course, for his son and for the blessing. So humor and laughter can be very good. I remember reading once, Some man advising preaching said the Lord never used humor in his sermons. He could never see the Lord using humor. He mustn't have read the New Testament. Do you think when the Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Here's a man," and he points out to his brother, "Look at this little speck in your eye. Take it out." And there's a big two before in his own eye. Isn't that right? A big plank in his own eye. Now think of people smiled. Or when he talked about the Pharisees, they strain at a gnat. You know how we joke about somebody taking their soup and there's a wee flea in it, a wee tiny. They strain at that, but they swallow a whole camel. Can you just imagine somebody trying to open their mouth to swallow a camel? That's what the Lord said. So speaking about the hypocrisy. No, do you think the people laughed at the hypocrisy of the Pharisees when the Lord talked how they strained at a little insignificant gnat you could hardly see, and yet to swallow a whole camel? Of course he did. Of course the Lord used it in a sanctifying, holy way to get truth across. Laughter. Why am I talking so much about laughter? Well, because laughter occurred so much in the verses I read. And this boy's called laughter. We need to go back to the context to get the full import of this. God had called Abraham sovereignly out of Ur of the Chaldees. He was well into his past middle age, as we would say today in our reckoning. Leave your country, leave your idols, because Abraham had been an idolater, remember? He had worshipped idols. God didn't choose Abraham because Abraham was seeking God. God sovereignly called him, and then God brought him to the land of Canaan. And in chapter 12, he said, Abraham, I'm going to give all this to your seed. And in thee and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. That was a national promise, the physical seed of Israel. But it was also an international promise to the whole world. The whole world. And in thy seed, singular. In other words, from the line of your descendants, physical descendants, is going to come the Messiah, the one who'll bruise Satan's head. He's going to come. But 25 years have gone by, and Abraham's getting older, and he's now 100. Well, I should go back. A few years before that, he and Sarah hit on a scheme. Sarah said, take my maid Hagar, and sure, if you have a child by her, we'll say it's ours. Well, that happened. Ishmael was born. God said, no, it's not Ishmael. It's not Ishmael. It's a son of promise. Sarah shall have a child. This was happening in chapter 17. God appears and says, listen, your wife is going to have a child. You're 100. She's 90. But you're going to have a child. And so we're here in chapter 17, if you go back. And verse 15. God said unto Abraham, Sarai, and notice how it's spelt. Maybe you're wondering in your Bible there why it's spelt that way. S-A-R-A-I. Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her that, but call her Sarah with an H. What's that about? Well, you may know that Abraham was at first called Abram. Abram, father. He had no children. Father. That's what Abram means, father. And God appeared to Abraham. You know what he said? Abraham, I'm going to change your name to Abraham. Put the H in. Now, in Hebrew, what that means is a father of multitudes. Now, he had no children. Do you not think people laughed at him? What's your name? You're Abram, aren't you, father? And you don't have any children. No, it's changed. The father of multitudes. He didn't have any children. People would have laughed at him. Of course they would. Now the Lord says, change your wife's name to, and the explanation's given, she'll be a mother of kings of many, and had no children. And he fell on his face and laughed in verse 17. You see that? He fell upon his face and laughed. Shall a child be born unto him that's 100 years old? How can it happen? He laughed. Now, when you go down this chapter a bit and see what God said to him, it will happen. And then, for time, we'll not go to it. We looked at it a few years ago in Romans chapter 4 and verse 29. You know what you read? Abraham staggered not at the promises of God, but he believed. Now, I know when you read verse 17, you think, well, it seems as if he's laughing the laugh of doubt. And he just falls on his face because it's so funny. It couldn't happen. But you read Romans 4. He did believe. He staggered not. You know, this is the laugh of faith. This is Abraham laughed the laugh of, we'll call it, dependence. He was depending upon God, and he's saying, how can a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old wife have a child? But God will do it. Faith, mighty faith, the promise sees and looks to God alone, laughs at impossibilities and shouts, it shall be done. It is. It's the laugh of faith. You read Romans 4. He believed. And sometimes, even though the fulfillment hasn't come, God's people can laugh by faith that it's going to happen. And we could give you many examples of that. By the way, that's the first time laughter occurs in the Bible, is in verse 17 of chapter 17. Hudson Taylor, just very briefly, I'm sure most of you have read his life story. Hudson Taylor, in his late teens, Christian father and mother, but he wasn't saved. His father was away at the time. His mother left him there with his sister, and she was away visiting friends. And Hudson Taylor was looking for something to read. And he thought, oh, I'll read one of these tracts that his dad had. I'll read the story.
And then when it gets to the preachy bit, I'll put it down. The tract was named Finished. We're going to think about that next Lord's Day evening when we think of the armistice, the war finishing. Finished! And he began to read it. Oh, he had heard the gospel many times. But right there, he called upon the Lord to save him. He had told his sister, but said, don't be saying anything, Mum's coming back. And when his mother came to the door, he rushed to meet her. And he said, Mother, I've great news for you. I know you came to Christ such and such a time, didn't you? What? She had been visiting the house, and at the meal, she got up from the meal, and she felt really burdened to pray for her son. She went up to pray in the room, and then God gave her this assurance, and she said, it's answered. He's going to be saved. I don't need to pray anymore. And she came down, she said, son, I've been rejoicing ever since. And she named, I forget, one or two days before. I have been rejoicing. That was the same as Abraham, the laugh of faith. The laugh of faith. I can only think of one time in my own life, and that happened years ago when my two sons were going to a gospel mission, and someone couldn't go in the car, and they telephoned this other man. He was actually married and brought him, and just praying, I just did this strange, and I'm not one for notions or anything like that, very much not, but I just felt God was going to answer, and he's going to be saved that night. In fact, he had been coming to the church a few times. I'd met him in the town, and I'd been at meetings that he had been in, actually worth of interest as local apprentice boys, and he had come to the church. He had been at a protest against the pubs, and he started to come to the church. Few meetings, just a few services. And I believed, I actually telephoned his brother, who was an officer in the church, and said, you know, I just really believe your brother's going to get saved tonight. Talked to his wife, actually, on the phone. And when the sons came home, they said, Dad, you never guess what happened. I know, so-and-so's got saved, haven't they? How did you know? That's only happened once in my life, I have to admit. I wish it would happen more. The laugh of faith. Has God ever given you a promise and you believe it and hold on to it? Oh, that we'd have faith. Now, I'm not talking about working up an emotion. God has to give you that promise. But, oh, I believe this is the laugh of faith. But then look in chapter 18 and verse 12. Because here you have the laugh of doubt. And these three men have come. I've said one of them is the Lord. That's very, very clear. Very, very clear. Because it's L-O-R-D, capital letters, Jehovah. And she's listening in the tent while the men talk. In verse 10, she heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And the Lord says, your wife's going to have a child. Verse 12, therefore Sarah laughed. After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And she laughed. And of course the Lord said, Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? In verse 15, Sarah comes forward. Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. She tells a lie. She tells a lie. She's afraid to admit that she laughed. You know, she was a saved lady. She was a godly lady. And, you know, that shows that she realized the awful sin of unbelief, even among believers. Terrible thing when you don't believe the Lord's promise. So she tells a lie. The Lord rebukes her. You will have a child. Isn't it wonderful how gracious God is? Isn't God gracious and patient with us? If the Lord marked iniquity, who could stand? Yes, the Lord told her you will have, but the Lord didn't punish her. He was tender with her. Isn't that lovely? The Lord is gracious with us even when we fail. But that's the laugh of doubt. Do you think that could happen? You know what I mean? People laugh. Don't be silly. That'll never happen. And here's a believer. And God gives a promise. You're going to have a son. Don't be silly. It'll never happen. And she's laughing the laugh of doubt. I remember a lady we knew, haven't seen her for a few years, and she told me when she was just a young lady in church. She's brought up in Christian church, evangelical gospel preaching church, but she wasn't saved. And one morning the preacher said, if you're not saved, I am praying now that you will have sleepless nights until you come to know Christ. I'm praying that God will take the sleep from your eyes. And she's told us, I laughed unto myself. What a crazy thing for a preacher to say. That's one thing that'll not happen to me, because I sleep like a log. Well, not anymore. She said, for night after night, I couldn't sleep. I tossed and I turned, and I couldn't get a night's sleep until I came to trust Christ as Savior. Oh, she was laughing. She was laughing the laugh of doubt. Wherefore did you laugh? Wherefore did you laugh? Listen, don't laugh at the promises of God. Don't laugh at the promises of God. Satan would try and, if you're not saved, Satan will try and get you to laugh. You need to be saved. You can't, oh, not me. No, it'll not happen to me. That's for other people. Lord can't save me. You're laughing at God's word. You're doubting God's promises. Don't do it. Now, thank God Sarah didn't always have the laugh of doubt. Because if you go over to Hebrews 11, you'll find that Sarah came to the place of faith just like her husband Abraham. So this was only for a time that she laughed and doubt. She did believe. She did believe. And that's good, the laugh of doubt. But look at chapter 1, 21, if you're still there. Chapter 21, and here's the laugh of delight. The laugh of delight in verse 3 over in chapter 21. And here the son is born. Not wonderful. The promise comes true. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, that Sarah bare to him, laughter. Or we have it in the Hebrew, verse 3, Isaac. And my Abraham's full of joy. And can you see Abraham and Sarah holding their little baby boy? And I've no doubt to think that they both laughed out loud. They were so excited. 90-year-old mother holding her newborn son, her firstborn. Do you not think she laughed? Both of them were so, so happy. God has made us to laugh. God has made us to laugh. Remember the first time that man I was talking about earlier came to church with his unsaved wife? I think it was about 6 children. They'll think they were used to going to church. And they went to the front, very front, kids climbing over everywhere. But I tell you, nobody was worried. Because you rejoice when somebody's saved. There's no joy, and we sang about it tonight in that hymn that Stephen led. The joy of somebody coming to Christ. The joy. See, Isaac was a newborn son, wasn't he? Wasn't it wonderful when there's a newborn son of God? There's no joy. There's joy in heaven over a sinner that repents. There's joy among the people of God when you hear of somebody coming to be saved. Oh, that we'd hear that cry. There's no cry like the cry of a newborn Christian. It brings joy to a church. It brings joy to believers, this wonderful, wonderful joy. The joy, and she's so full of joy, is Sarah. She's so full of joy. In fact, just look at verse 6, chapter 21. Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. So this was a God-given laugh. God caused her to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Isn't that what happens when a soul's saved? I have some great news for you. Did you hear about so-and-so after you? We never thought they would be saved. My, we prayed and prayed for them for years, and we thought they were so hard they would never come to Christ. Isn't it wonderful they've got saved? You ever heard anybody say that to you? And you laugh along with them? You're so full of joy. And Sarah's laughing. She's saying, I'm so full of joy. And you see, everybody hears about it. They're going to be happy too. But I want you to look at one more. We have time for one more. Chapter 21, verse 9. Sarah saw the son of Hagar, that's Ishmael, the Egyptian. See, that's underlined there, isn't it? Not a son of promise. Which he had borne unto Abraham, mocking. You know what I want to tell you, and I checked it this afternoon to double make sure. Look up a good lexicon, a good concordance. That is the same word translated laughing. Same word. You say, well, why did the translators put mocking? Well, they're right to put it. Because there are different types of laughter. Now, we say laughter, but we've already seen tonight there are different types of laughter. There's good, wholesome laughter when we laugh at things. God says the laughter of fools. God said fools make a mock or laugh at sin. There's a laughter at people, and this is the laugh of derision. And we know that the translators are right to translate it mocking. Because, I'll not turn to it, but in Galatians 4, in verse 29, Paul uses this story hundreds of years later. You know what he says? The birth of Isaac and Ishmael into the family of Abraham, it's a figure, it's an illustration of the battle between the spirit and the flesh in the Christian life. There's a battle. And he said, Ishmael. And the word in the New Testament that Paul uses is, persecuted Isaac. So he's laughing at his infant half-brother. He's laughing at him. And you know what Paul says in the book of Galatians 4? As it is to now. In other words, it's still true. The children of the kingdom are mocked by the children of those that follow Satan. Children of darkness. They're still mocked. They're still persecuted. Didn't we have in our news this week that lady in India, 8 or 9 years in jail for being a Christian? She's released. Did you see the thousands and thousands and thousands of Hindus militantly in the street calling for her to be beaten to death and killed? Wanting to overthrow the government? Sorry, Pakistan. I said India. Sorry, I correct that. Pakistan, Imran Khan. It was in Pakistan. Although India, you know that the Hindus, they go against Christians as well. Sorry, it was Pakistan, Imran Khan, the president there, and it's Muslims against them. And they're crying out for the death of this lady who was cleared of blasphemy. They want her dead. And they want the politicians and the judges that released her dealt with. Such is the hatred. And we could tell you story after story of India in recent years, where among the Hindu people, Christians have been put to death. But some time ago, there was actually film footage of a man and his wife who were beaten to death for being Christians. So there you have it, India, Pakistan. You have it in other countries. Still goes on. Persecution of the people of God. It's true. This here is a picture. It's a picture. But let me get back to Ishmael very quickly. It's the laugh of derision. You see, he was not just laughing at his younger brother, half-brother. There's more to this. Isaac was the son of promise. Isaac was brought up by a godly father. Surely Abraham would have taught him about the coming Messiah who would be the Redeemer. And Isaac was the chosen one who would be in the family line of Christ, who would come to be the Savior, to make atonement for sins. And Isaac, by laughing and by mocking laughing, he's rejecting the coming Christ. Now, I'm not reading into it. I believe that's what's happening. He's saying that he wants nothing to do with the promises of Jehovah. He's rejecting the Savior. And you get that today. There's people who will mock the Savior. We have in the media the love to attack evangelical Christians. If they fail and fall, how they love to highlight it. Over in America, there's elections going on, and it's all, if you read of what some of the politicians are, one I read the other day, openly saying that, I forget if it's a he or she, I'm campaigning against these evangelical Bible believers. We need to keep them out. Attacking them. Attacking those who are for pro-life and so on, with vehemence, with hatred, with viciousness. And that's getting worse and worse in our own country. But Isaac, I believe, was rejecting Christ. He was rejecting the coming Savior. And you still get that today. You get those who reject. It's unbelievable to the lengths of derision that people will go in our society, and it's going to get worse. That's why we need a special time of prayer. It's getting worse. I remember over in America in 1974, which year it was, traveling in Canada and stopping at a place, fast food. We're traveling for hundreds and hundreds of miles, and unbelievably a poster that was blasphemous about Christ and Psalm 23. I remember sitting in a bus in 1975 when we were home just before going to New Guinea. We're crowded in a double-decker bus, and two, all I can call them young ladies, for want of a better term. They were, I'm sure, 20s or something, and you couldn't help in the double-decker buses, and they were loud and blasphemy. One of them was mocking Psalm 23 as a parody and putting in curse words and blasphemy of what they would do when they meet Almighty God. I couldn't, when it came my bus stop, I had to turn and say, young ladies, I must remind you, one day you'll stand before God. Oh, what are you listening to our conversation? I said, I'm sitting in front of you, if you couldn't help. But the God you've been mocking, you're going to meet him. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. The laugh of derision. And to think of it, Ishmael had a godly father. In fact, in chapter 18, the Lord said, I'll not hide what I'll do to Sodom from Abraham, because I know he will rule his family well. Do you not think Ishmael would have seen his father praying? He would have heard his father tell about how the Lord met with him. And Ishmael ends up mocking the promises of God of a coming Redeemer. And sadly, there's been those brought up under gospel preaching, and they've ended up not with the laughter of delight and trusting Christ as Savior, but with the laughter of derision, and ended up mocking the Savior. But God has the last laugh. God has the last laugh. Because in Psalm 2, God speaks of those who rebel against his Son, will refuse to kiss his anointed. That means bow before him. And what does God say? He shall laugh at their calamity. He shall have them in derision. Oh, there's a gospel message here. There's a gospel message here. Yes, there's a lesson for all believers that we should not laugh the laugh of doubt. We should laugh the laugh of dependence that God will do it, even though it seems impossible. And God will fulfill his promise and will laugh with the laugh of delight, but never, never laugh the laugh of derision against God's promises. And you investigate. If you don't know the story of Isaac too well, start reading it and take a notebook. There are, prophecies or types or pictures after picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you think of Isaac and Christ's birth. Both were promised long before they were born. Both of them were given names by God. Do you ever think of that? Both of them were given names by Almighty God before they were even born. And both births appeared or happened at God's set time. It says that of Isaac. Born at the set time. Of Christ, it says, when the fullness of time was come. Both sons were the delight of their father. Isaac was the delight of his father Abraham. The Lord Jesus Christ was the delight of God the Father. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Do you know both Isaac and Christ were obedient to their fathers? Obedient unto death. Because Isaac went up the mountain, ready to be sacrificed. But he was delivered, and a lamb died in the place. Our Savior, like Isaac, went up the mount. Same place, by the way, Mount Moriah. But he did die. There's no substitute for him, because he was our substitute. Study Isaac's life. Wonderful, wonderful picture of Christ. That's why I say Ishmael was rejecting the promises. What do you laugh at? What do you laugh at? May God give us in the church and as Christians the laughter of fulfillment that knew born souls coming in to the kingdom of Christ.